You were saying that if you got your, what is it, Sayup, the Sayup dialect back.
Well, when I first came back to Los Angeles from Texas, I couldn't speak Chinese too well. Mm-hmm. I had lost a lot of my Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, especially the Toi San part.
Mm-hmm.
So by working with in this office, I was able to practice my Chinese better.
Could you describe some of the clients and the kind of businesses they had?
Mm. He sold life and disability and general insurance to all the Chinese, mostly Chinese. I would say 100% Chinese.
Uh-huh.
And the clients were all kinds of people, especially the business people, the market people, the produce market, the restaurants, the grocery stores. In fact, actually, I have owners. And
not the workers. The workers didn't buy any insurance.
Workers, yes,
for
some
themselves,
of them do.
Life insurance.
Life insurance,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And those people who own homes.
Mm-hmm. Do many Chinese own homes at
there are some,
in those days?
Some there are.
Where?
Some in the east side,
mm-hmm.
Which is like Boyle Heights in that area. I think there was quite a few Chinese living there. And like some of the old timers, which I would call like Mr. and Mrs. Y.C. Hong, they live in Gramercy right off of Olympic.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And
okay, so those people
mm-hmm.
bought insurance.
Mm-hmm. And so he was quite a good insurance salesman, and he had quite a nice little business.
How does he go about selling? He just calls people.
Yes, he does.
Say,
he gets one. He just keeps on going. People need insurance. They come to find him at the office, or else he has friends. He belongs to a club, and he would one referral to another because he did travel up and down the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that was how I also started my business. I do have a bookkeeping, and I also sell insurance also. So I had this business, and because he didn't do bookkeeping, and clients came to look for a bookkeeper, he recommended me to
mm-hmm.
take
so
the business, and I started.
You did part-time bookkeeping
yes.
for various?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I did the bookkeeping for him also.
Mm-hmm.
So then he recommended that I was able to take these clients. And they're small businesses. They only need a person to do their bookkeeping once a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they would bring me their work, and I started that way. And now I have quite a nice business now, today.
Uh-huh. And what about laundries? And
yes, laundries. Mostly laundries.
Yeah. Gift shops.
Grocery stores.
No, I don't
gift
mean yours.
Shops.
I meant they're his clients then.
Yes.
Or did he cater sort of solely to produce and
no,
food?
No, to anybody. To anybody. But we were across the street from the produce market.
Uh-huh.
So then, but all over, but you, at that time, everybody knows, you know, Chinese is such a close-knit community. You know almost who has a grocery store where, you know, mm-hmm. where the Chinese are having their businesses. And
mm-hmm.
even like today, if a new restaurant opens, almost half the population knows that this restaurant is open. Opening, you know.
What were the working hours of that office, the insurance
office?
Oh,
the insurance office. That's why I liked it so much. It was 9:30 to 4:30.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Monday through Friday.
Yeah, Monday through Friday. And half day on Saturday.
Oh, uh-huh. So it did add up to 40 hours.
Maybe, more or less, but he was very lenient. I could take off when I needed to.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, very
and
nice.
Just in this office, just him and you?
Mm-hmm. Mostly me. He was out on calls all the time.
Oh,
he was not in the office very often.
At that time, he wasn't married to Phoebe?
Not yet. Mm-hmm.
I see. Were there many insurance salesmen at that time?
Not too many, but there were a few.
Mm-hmm.
Mindahao did all the Chinese business too, you know.
Who?
Mr. Mindahao. You haven't
the
heard
Jewish?
Of Mindahao Insurance? He's
I
not. I think he's German.
Oh, German.
But he
yeah,
used, yes, he used to go down the market. He was quite a big competitor of Mr. Luoyang.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How
but
could he compete? I mean, since he was not a Chinese.
Well, because
he speaks Chinese.
I think he was here much longer and earlier,
uh-huh.
sooner, and he specialized in the market. He used to go down the market and meet all these people, not only Chinese but all nationalities. And I understand he was even so good that sometimes he even loaned money to the Chinese, and he gave them a lot of credit. He was a big help too.
I see. Was Calvin Chang around at that time?
I believe he was, but I didn't know him. See, now he a graduate of university, and also he was he's a public accountant.
Right.
And yes.
So at that time, the Chinese were just beginning to go into fields other than restaurant, laundry, and
well, there always are a few, you know. Like I was telling you, at the time when Fred was going to high school, and he was working in the dollar store after he graduated, then Dr. Su's family, Dr. Su was going to college, becoming a doctor. He's a few years younger than my husband, but he's still practically like a contemporary.
Yeah.
But his family was
Dr. Su, when did he come to Los Angeles, or was he born here?
No, he was born in China, but he came to Portland to go to school, but he came to Los Angeles in 1945.
Oh, I see. So he was one of the first Chinese MDs in the 1940s?
Well, he is one of the first, I would say, but at that time there was quite a few others. And I know there was Dr. Chuck was here.
Mm-hmm. Were your doctors, say for instance, your OBGYN or your regular doctors, were they Chinese?
No, I didn't know a Chinese doctor at that time. I went to an American doctor.
Oh, I see.
Someone had gone to him, and then you know how they recommend you, and before you knew it, all of us was going to him at that time.
Wait, did you raise your children on the Dr. Spock, was it, or did he come out with his book at that time?
Oh, there was a baby book. I think I wouldn't exactly say I raised them expressly like that, but I think we were very modern about raising our children. I think so.
Did you rely on any information given to you from the Chinese side? For instance, there are certain beliefs about you know how to take care of this, you know, taking care of it.
No.
What is it, the measles or something?
No,
keeping them cooped up in the room and so on and so forth.
No, in that respect, that I think we always thought of ourselves as very Americanized.
Uh-huh.
I did anyway, and my husband, since his parents were no longer living, he didn't have this Chinese tradition so embedded, so that we were very Americanized in our.
In fact, I believe you think of yourself more as an American, right?
I think I do. I believe I think more in that way, although many people think that I'm very traditional because we do belong to my husband's a family association, the Longgong.
Oh, you too?
Yes, we're
You don't
very
belong to your native, your maiden last
My
name.
Maiden, I do belong, I contribute to them, but only in recent years.
Uh-huh.
But since my husband was so interested in the Longgong Association, then I have been their first, they newly formed an auxiliary, and I was their first chairman, and so I've been
first
very
first chairman of
the auxiliary, women's auxiliary.
Oh, women's auxiliary.
Uh-huh, in the Longgong. Yeah.
Which year?
This has been about 10 years ago.
Oh,
and they had formed previously, and then they disbanded, and then when they formed again, I was their first chairman on the second formation. And so the ladies there are, Fred and I are, I believe that Fred and I are the only American-born people that are active.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest are China-born. And they couldn't believe that we were American-born.
Oh,
yet
yeah.
I feel American-born.
I see. In fact, the way you and Fred met in the work, you know, through working together, was that rather typical of a meeting?
By the time, yes, I think it was
in the
fairly,
40s.
Yes, I think so, because all our friends at that time met whoever they liked and they married whoever they liked. Mostly because we're the ones that were born here. But then yet we knew of other people who had gone back to Hong Kong or China to get their wives married too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Even though in the 40s?
Yes, in the 40s.
Why would because there's not enough women here, or what?
No, I think sometimes if they're China-born and they're here, they don't seem to assimilate with the ones born here,
mm-hmm.
or they don't. Difficult for them to find someone that they would. It's difficult for them to find a mate here sometimes for them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the
cultural differences. There are cultural differences in foreign-born and born here.
Mm-hmm. What about having children? Did you decide on having so many and of what sexes? And
well, Fred and I, we didn't mind the sexes at all, just so that it was a nice, healthy baby. But we didn't get our children until a few years later anyway, because both of us were not what you call from a affluent family. So we were, very hardworking people.
I thought you said your first child, your daughter, was born in 43?
I'm sorry, we were married in 43. She was born in 47.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
46, I mean. She was born in 46, and
uh-huh.
my son was born in 47.
I see.
Yeah, we were married in 43, and then my daughter was born in 46, and my son was born in 47. And we had our children close, but after the second child, we thought, well, that was plenty to take care of because my husband was still going to school.
So it was for economic reasons that you decided to have only two?
Yes.
Definitely. Otherwise you would have had more if you had the money.
I don't know. I don't know whether I would have more if we had the money. I really don't know.
At
I
that
thought
time was
two
a
was plenty because you don't know what you're going to do if you had more money enough. I felt two was plenty to take care of myself, you know.
At that time, did most of your girlfriends who got married also tend to have small families?
Yes, yes. My Fred's sister at that time also, although Fred was older than her sister, but she and I were contemporaries. And so she only had two children, and
mm-hmm.
I had two, and my girlfriend had three, and my girlfriends had three, and then most of them had two or three children, not
mm-hmm.
large family. My sister, though, she had five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't work. She went to college,
mm-hmm.
but she married her husband, and her husband was a little bit well off, and they had an old-fashioned family, and so they wanted more children.
Uh-huh.
They wanted more children. Her husband is from an old-fashioned family.
I see.
And
did they prefer boys also?
Well, they would have, yes, they do prefer boys. So she had three boys and two girls.
If you did have, for instance, two girls, would you have tried for a son?
Well, I think in Fred and not my case, maybe not, because we were really didn't want a big family.
Uh-huh.
So we were very fortunate to have the boy and a girl.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the test would have been if we had had two girls. It would be hard to say.
Would you say your contemporaries also felt the same way, just didn't care too much about sons?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I think they do, but it wasn't really of a prime importance to them unless they had old-fashioned families, parents. Now, my mother was not that old-fashioned in a way.
So. Were there any instances of interracial marriages at that time?
Yes, there were.
Could you tell
but
me?
But I don't know too much about them. All I know is that in Texas, if they were interracial marriage, it was very frowned upon.
I mean between Chinese and?
And other nationalities, yes.
Oh, in Texas,
yes.
It was.
And then when we came to in Portland, I know that one of our friends married a Filipino, and they frowned upon that too. But here in California, people were a little bit more open-minded, I presume. But I knew a doctor that married a Caucasian lady. There always will be talk, but for myself, we're very open-minded. Fred and I are very open-minded, so I wouldn't hold that against anyone.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, at that time, was it?
But there's always a very wide difference of opinion on that. I've talked to my Chinese clients, and they are definitely against it. I talked to my own contemporary friends who are more Americanized, and they said, what's the difference? So we do have a very young.
It would depend on.
On who you're speaking to, I think so.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Did most people plan their childbirths, do you think? or was it just sort of accident? In other words, was birth control a concept available to women, or that women had in those
yes.
days?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You have, do you have it in high school or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, I never got it at school. This is something that was I had to learn after I got married. Yes.
From doctors, from your OBGYN doctor, or from your
girlfriends? Well, I learned this from my husband.
Okay. But your girlfriends, did they practice? Do you think they practiced birth control, or was birth control practiced?
Oh yes, because
commonly.
Quite a few of my friends didn't have children right away.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And, but they weren't, you don't think they had any knowledge of birth control until later, beyond their school years?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. If women at that time had more, you know, got pregnant with their gynos, you know, third or fourth child, and they didn't really want one, was abortion considered an alternative in those days for a married woman?
I have heard that there, yes, it would have been considered, but it's very discreetly done, so you don't really know for sure.
Mm, that's true.
Uh-huh. You really don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Was your prenatal and maternity care American style?
Yes. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Except
didn't have
for one
that
thing.
One month before.
Except one.
Yeah.
Except for one thing. Isn't that funny? As Americanized as we think we are, well, not after my two children were born, Fred did make the what they call the Chinese whiskey with the chicken, you know, the jiu girl,
yeah.
And the bo gai. He made it. Well, he did that. You know, it's very unusual, and he even made it for my girlfriend. Because
when
her husband
was
when she had her baby, she wanted it also, and her husband was away, so he made it for her too. I remember that. So outside of that,
did you pass out red eggs?
Yes, we do a lot of traditional things. It's very funny. We do a lot of traditional things. That's why at Lung Gong they all say that I'm really so Chinesey,
uh-huh.
And yet I feel I'm Americanized. I think there are the blend is all the good things like Chinese New Year's, you know, and all the traditional holidays and things. Well, you see, because Lung Gong celebrates it, so we have always participated, but my own family don't. Now, some Chinese families have this celebration. They do all the preparation food ahead of time and have the one dinner before and after, but we always celebrate it with at the Gongsong.
When did you started joining Lung Gong? Husband?
Well, 43, I guess about 10 years after we were married, because by that time the children, we had the two children, and we had a little more time to do civic things, and he joined the CACA, which is the Chinese American Citizens Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very active in that. He became the president, and I became the auxiliary chairman.
Oh, yes.
And so
that was 10 years ago, right?
Yes,
you,
we've been in it for more than 10 years, and we've been
in
altogether about 20 years now.
Yeah, I meant the time you became auxiliary.
Yes.
Chairman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And did you take care of the children?
Oh,
mostly?
Yes. Oh, yes. I took care of mostly, except the time that when I went back to work for Mr. Louis On, when my daughter was about 9 months old, then I had a babysitter take care of during the day, and
mm-hmm.
I took her to the babysitter in the morning, took her home at night. But I had such good hours, it didn't matter too much.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Who made the decisions as to how the child ought to be brought up? Both of you?
Well, I think it's mutual.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fred is husband that helps in the family, I mean the house.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the kind, I guess he's not a true Chinese husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I say we're so Americanized. You know, he cooks, he washes dishes.
Uh-huh.
And
but he didn't die for the children? Or
well, when he had to. I don't impose those things. I mean, I try to do as much of what they call the so-called women's work as much as possible, but you know, in the area of like we are, he's a friend, very helpful around the house. That's
mm-hmm. How did you know how to bring up a child?
Well, I read books. I'm very self-taught.
What kind
you
of
know,
books?
all baby books, the Better Homes and Gardens, and all the Good Housekeepings, and the Ladies' Home Journals, and all the most up-to-date and the latest magazines, because I am a self-taught person.
Yeah.
Even my, I didn't complete my college education, and I did graduate in the upper 15% of my class in order to get to college. But after that, I'm afraid my goals were not on education, but just to, and then after I got married, I'm afraid that we were financially at a point where we both had to work in order to make it go. So
yeah,
it just happens.
Uh-huh.
So
in during that time between the 42 and 45, 46, did you have much of any social activity?
Oh yes, all we had a lot of. When we first came to California, then we worked at, when I worked at the dollar store, I made a lot of friends, and friends introduced you to other friends. And so we had a group of people that we associated with. In fact, all these young people now, we still see them off and on. Dollar store people, you know, all the people there that
what
work.
What kind of social activities did you have? Picnics and
We had
like
picnics,
that?
And we had dinners at each other's homes. And nothing elaborate, because we were all of us were very all just working people, and from very what do you call it? I never consider if we are not have a lot of money, real poor. Like you think of poor people. What do you call people that are? Because we have business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family had my father. In fact, they called him rich, but I didn't call him. I didn't think my grandfather was that rich. But they always, always well off. They had business.
Yeah.
You know, comfortable.
Comfortable.
You know what I mean. But not rich, where you could send your children to college with a lot of money, and could, where you could, I mean, your children always had to go to work too.
Yeah. In fact, at that time, what was the ideal job for people? If you could get an ideal job in the 40s, for women. For a Chinese woman, what would it have been?
Well, I presume an office job would be one of the nicest jobs that you could have.
A secretary
in an office. That's that was my ambition, thinking that that would be very good for me, because it would be, or else I would have to clerk in a store, and I've clerked in a store all my life in my father's grocery store, and I said I wouldn't want to do that anymore.
What about for Chinese men?
Well, to own their own business. Because you see, outside of being a professional person, you want to own your own business, no matter how big or small.
And what about for your children at the time?
Oh, then naturally, once I got my children, well, seeing that, knowing what I have to go through to make a living, and I felt that the best thing for my children to do was to go to college. And so I really concentrated more to raise my children to go to college.
But you didn't have any career aspirations for them? Did you hope that they would be something?
Oh yes, I would like for, I think all, in fact, this is the joke of everything, of everyone, is that all the Chinese want their children to be
doctors.
lawyers, bankers, all the high professional jobs that you can think of. They want them to be scientists, professors, everything like that.
But not businessmen,
though? Well, yes, if you can be a, not a business sense, in the sense of like a self-employed, like the generation of their parents before. Because, you see, a Chinese businessman works 20 hours a day in order to make ends meet. Now, who wants to be that kind of a businessman? To be an entrepreneur, yes, fine, right. A business.
How come other Chinese did not follow the example of John, was it John Shu, who had the dollar store?
Oh, Zhou Xiong. Mr. Zhou Xiong. Zhou Xiong
was
really ahead of. He was really ahead of his time, and I don't know why he was so ahead of his time.
Do you know how he got started and where?
I think he had a little mercantile business in San Francisco, a small store, and it was successful.
So then he expanded?
Yes, he was very much ahead of his time.
And no one after him?
Not that big. Now, in Texas, my grandfather had 4 grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say that he was a big businessman, which everyone said he was. But I felt that his lifestyle was not exactly
mm-hmm.
A lifestyle that I would appreciate in a businessman.
I did the hard work.
Yes.
Long hours.
Right.
Yeah.
And being so thrifty to the point of where their own living standard was not nice.
What did they do with the money they made?
Well, that's what...
Bury them or somewhere or...
Well, times were hard, and they have 7 children, and so
I'm sure they
goes.
Saved. I'm
and
positive they
well,
saved money.
Well, they had the money, but what happened then, like some of the other younger children, they went to college, and like my uncle, he even bought an airplane. So that's where some of the leakage of the money goes to, you know, but my grandfather
that's
wouldn't live well.
That's not typical.
Well, that is not typical.
About buying airplanes.
Right. But he
what
was in the Air Force.
Oh.
See. And then when he came out, he was in the Air Force. And then when he came out, he bought an airplane.
To do what?
Well, I don't know what he did with it. Tell you, I thought it was for pleasure.
Oh, my
But that
goodness.
Was, he was, that's why they say that he was rich. But then, see, the money is not spent really to have a good life, family lifestyle.
Did you two send money back home to China?
No, I didn't have any relatives.
Oh, that's right, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Although Fred's family, I think his father did.
Mm-hmm.
His father did.
Would you say the spending pattern of you and Fred were significantly different from those of your parents? You know, what you would save for and what you spent for?
Well, this is a very, very unusual situation because I think Fred's spending pattern and his lifestyle being married to me is a little different from his family. I'm speaking about my grandfather in terms of lifestyle, but my father was not like that. My father was considered a spendthrift by his father. That's why my father, my father always moved away from wherever his family was. We lived away from the business, far away. And he always liked to live fairly well because he copied the lifestyle of my mother's family. We lived with him for 6 years.
Your father, I thought you said your father was a spendthrift. And
well, my grandfather called him that. See,
but he wasn't?
Well, there wasn't that much to spend in a way, but he did live very well. See, my grandfather didn't like to live that. He always lived in the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my father, since he lived in San Francisco with my mother's people and he found out how other people lived, then he always rented a nice house and we always had nice furniture. And every
that
Sunday...
That was more considered more American, right?
Yes, and then every Sunday we would go out to dinner and go to a show.
Oh.
That's how I was raised.
So that is American.
Yes.
That is
yes.
American.
And my father always liked the niceties. Because of his school job. After he got married to my mother, he went to San Francisco to live with her parents. He was able to go back to school. My grandfather and grandmother Lum told him to go back and get his high school diploma. But he worked at the school job in the doctor's home. And so he knew how to make all these nice dishes.
Oh.
He learned how to cook well and learned how to set a table well.
Oh.
So every Sunday we always had a beautiful dinner.
So what was the difference between Mabel and him?
The difference is my father's, I think their temperament is the difference. My mother is a very non-violent type of person, and my father is kind of a violent type. And my father's fast.
Did he ever beat
things.
You when you were a child?
No, he never laid a hand on us, but he's very, very dominating. He's very dominating. He's dominating. Mm-hmm. And... But then he learned a little bit about living from my mother's people so that when he went back to Texas, he didn't even fit in with his own family.
Oh.
So he was really in a very sad situation.
Yeah. That at that time, as I think we mentioned last time in the interview with Fred, that divorces were very unusual.
Very rare. Yeah, very rare.
Did you feel the children of your mother, including yourself, suffered at all because of the
well, I think
divorce.
My mother herself. I think my mother felt the stigma more, and for myself, maybe I did, but I don't know. You know, when you're young, sometimes you take these things in your stride, because I felt that it was, for my mother's sake, it was better for her to have the divorce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so,
there was just
no
compatibility. 19.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, so I was
so you were
old enough to know. Yeah.
Adult, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I see. Right. And among your own friends, were there any divorces?
I don't think so. No. At the time when I came to California, I met all these people. I don't think there was any.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Did you send your children to Chinese schools?
No. We always lived in an American neighborhood. It was too far. And
oh,
I was
yes.
also
mm-hmm.
had my business and work.
Mm-hmm. And so... do you think the Chinese people in LA have done better or worse than
I think Chinese are very good. They do very well. You see, I do have, my business is all Chinese, and most of my Chinese people are the poor, so-called poor people. They have small businesses, but they don't have what they call a formal education. But I have to tell you this. They still can run a business. They still can make enough money. They know how to save their money, and then they struggle, and they also sacrifice to send their children to school.
And so therefore they have come out ahead of others?
I think so, because it's just being poor doesn't mean anything. You can still rise above it.
Mm-hmm.